Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Something I wanted to stress is the importance of taking care of yourself and your needs during the holiday season, as these times can be, you know, just very challenging for a lot of us. I actually had to take my own advice during Thanksgiving and set some personal boundaries for myself. Usually when I come to Los Angeles, you know, I'll stay with my family members, even though it can be uncomfortable sometimes, either because there's not enough space or privacy or respect for that matter. And this time I chose to stay at a hotel, and I can't tell you guys how grateful I am that I made this decision despite having to spend that extra money, because what I'm realizing, the older I get, the wiser I become, that preserving my sanity and my well-being is the most important thing for me. Even if it ruffles some feathers, even if people may not agree with my decisions, I refuse to put myself in situations where I feel as though I need to tolerate pain, especially when it's an extended period of time. Okay, so anywho, just wanted to share that little victory with you and remind you, you know, to set boundaries however you can in order to take care of yourself first and foremost. All right, so welcome to today's podcast episode on how to navigate relationship ambivalence, aka relationship indecision, doubt, or confusion. So I really wanted to help you understand that relationship ambivalence, right? That confusion or that doubt that we experience comes with the territory when we have an anxious, dismissive avoidant, or fearful avoidant attachment style. Okay, and this ambivalence is often rooted in fear, first and foremost, but also a distorted view on how relationships should be, right? We often have this distorted view of how relationships should be. So our expectations are all messed up. And I wanted to shed, you know, just some light on this topic so that you can make more informed decisions regarding your relationships rather than make decisions that may perhaps sabotage your relationships. So what is relationship ambivalence? Let's get into it. Relationship ambivalence refers to having mixed or conflicting feelings within a relationship. So we may have opposing emotions, or we may fluctuate between contradictory thoughts and feelings, okay? And depending on your attachment style, you experience ambivalence differently. So we're gonna get into how each attachment style experiences ambivalence differently, specifically the insecure attachments. So anxious attachments may experience ambivalence with their struggle, right, in trusting their partners fully while simultaneously longing for a secure connection. They might crave intimacy and closeness very, very intensely, but simultaneously fear that rejection or that abandonment, right? So there's always that underlying anxiety and fear. They may send mixed signals or exhibit behaviors that kind of swing between extreme expressions of affection and moments of doubt or insecurity. And this can be really confusing to their partners, right? Because, you know, they're expressing all of this emotion, expressing all this care and affection, yet they are getting jealous, they're getting upset, they're, you know, becoming explosive. They are indirectly communicating their needs, which can, you know, appear to be very immature ways of expressing your needs. So it seems very, very incongruent, and it seems very confusing, right? Confusing to others. They can experience rapid shifts in emotions, oscillating between moments of intense love and moments of heightened anxiety or suspicion within the relationship. So again, that can be very, very confusing to themselves, of course, and to others as well. Dismissive avoidance, on the other hand, may experience ambivalence through their desire for relationships, but simultaneously fearing being trapped or losing their autonomy, right? So they want to be in a relationship. A lot of them want to be in a relationship, right? Humans are, we're wired for connection, but there's this underlying fear of losing their autonomy. So they can be very wishy-washy, very confusing, you know, to themselves and to others. They may send mixed signals to their partners, alternating between moments of emotional closeness, because again, it meets needs for them. They're enjoying that closeness, with sudden withdrawal or distancing themselves because of those underlying fears and underlying belief systems around love. They may struggle with wanting to handle challenges independently while occasionally needing support or reassurance, creating a sense of inner conflict. Fearful avoidance, on the other hand, may struggle with ambivalence through having deep feelings of love for their partner while also experiencing intense anxiety or fear in the relationship, which can feel really confusing, right? It's like, how do I love this person? How am I, you know, do I want to be with this person, yet I'm experiencing all this fear and all this doubt, and I'm not sure if this person is the one or if I should be in this relationship. So you can imagine, right, just how just confusing and how painful that inner turmoil can feel. Also, fearful avoidance, right? Feeling drawn to intimacy and that emotional connection, but also experiencing intense discomfort when getting too close. Fearful avoidance also fluctuating between closeness and a need for space, right? Or distance as a result of conflicting emotions. So again, it's like they want that closeness, but then they also need the space. And it's confusing to them that they have these kind of conflicting needs, even though, you know, they're legit needs. You know, there's the need for closeness and there's also a need for space. So it doesn't have to be confusing. Two things can, you know, be true at the same time. So what I to expand on this a little bit, because this can be a whole episode in itself. Two things can exist at the same time, meaning you can have two contradicting feelings or thoughts that can exist at the same time. It doesn't have to be one or the other. These two things, you can have these two contradicting needs and just learn how to balance them and meet them within the relationship. It doesn't mean you need one or the other. It's okay to have both of those experiences existing at the same time. I'm going to make an episode just on this concept. Okay, so you can see how these contradictory experiences can cause a lot of confusion, right? And just turmoil within ourselves and within our relationships if we don't really understand the nature of them, if we don't really understand how to work with them or balance them. So here are some steps to help you navigate this ambivalence. Number one, reflect on what triggers these feelings of ambivalence, right? Is it past experiences? Is it your attachment style or specific relationship dynamics? Understanding your attachment style, right, and how it influences your reactions and behaviors in the relationship can create a lot of clarity and differentiation. So when I work with anxious attachments, for example, and their needs aren't getting met, right? Maybe it's their need for communication or consistency or affection. They get very activated, right? They get very triggered and they begin to generate a lot of feelings and thoughts around distrust and questioning the loyalty or the love of their partner. So just, you know, being aware that when their attachment system is activated because something specific happened, meaning when they notice any sign of disconnection or incongruence, they will naturally go into ambivalent ways of thinking and feeling. So just having this understanding alone can help them separate themselves from what they're experiencing, right? When this happens, I start to go into my ambivalent ways of thinking and feeling. So step two is developing coping mechanisms to manage these intense emotions, right? We don't necessarily have to do anything about them. Like I was saying before, we can just be present with what is coming up for us. We can be present with these ambivalent emotions and thoughts and sensations. So this is why it's really important to develop those coping mechanisms to, really just better manage the intense emotions. So techniques like mindfulness, breathing, emotional freedom technique I love, you know, any kind of somatic work, meditation or journaling can help regulate emotions. Something that I personally like to do when I feel activated is put my hand on my heart and calmly tell myself that I'm safe, right? I'll just be like, hey, Jess, we're safe, we're okay, we're good. And just feeling that pressure of my hand on my body feels very comforting. Because when we're activated, our nervous system thinks that we're in danger. So any reminder to ease that threat response is helpful. I also really love listening to affirmation meditations as well. Number three, okay, then the next step is just very, very important, okay? So acceptance. Accept that you have these fluctuations in your emotions and your thoughts and your sensations, right? Having fears and worries and doubts, unfortunately, just come with the territory when we have an insecure attachment style. Obviously, everybody, regardless of your attachment style, experiences these emotions, but insecure attachments tend to experience it more frequently and more intensely. It's just something that we have to accept about ourselves in the moment, okay? And though it gets better, right? It gets better with time. It gets better with practice. They're still going to come up from time to time. So for example, in my relationship, I still see my ambivalence surface when Miles and I get into a heated, you know, argument, or when we spend weeks apart from each other because of the nature of his work, the nature of his job, or when he forgets to meet my need in a certain way, even though I've had to tell him over and over and over again that I like it a certain way, right? And it's been 6 years into our relationship, and I still have that ambivalence. It's just something that I have to accept about myself and really, really practice navigating in the best way possible, right? Just because these things are happening doesn't mean he's not the right one for me. Doesn't mean I have to end my relationship. Again, I can love him and also experience this ambivalence. Those two things can be true at the same time. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be so black and white. Which leads me to number four. When the ambivalence comes up, which it will, make the conscious choice to commit to your relationship values. What are relationship values, right? And I'll use mine as an example, right? Things that are really important for me within a relationship, things that I try to be in integrity with when it comes to my relationship and how I want to operate and what I expect from my partner. Honesty, transparency, commitment, support, teamwork, kindness, freedom, fun, growth, connection, openness. So whenever I feel confused and I want to run, which is my fearful avoidant impulse to do, I come back to my values, right? I come back to my values. Every time I feel lost and I'm like, what do I do? I come back to my values, which then encourages me to show compassion, right? Since kindness is really important for me, teamwork, support is really important for me. Rather than run, I stay present. I show compassion. I talk about my concerns because transparency is really important for me with my partner so that we can find solutions together. So just remember that your values are your navigation system. They are your compass when you are feeling lost. And though you may be feeling or thinking a certain way or thinking in this very incongruent way, confusing way, choose to always realign with your relationship values. This realignment will create that congruency, right? That clarity that you're looking for. And number five, when necessary, communicate your needs And concerns clearly with your partner, right? Discuss how both of you can navigate through this phase together, navigate through these challenges together. And this will help you understand if the relationship doubt you're experiencing is real, right? Or if it's coming from insecurity or lack of understanding yourself or understanding your partner, just understanding how relationships work in general. So I highly advise you to take some time and get clear on your relationship values, because it'll give you that direction that you're looking for. And use these steps to navigate your relationship and ambivalence as often as you need. Okay, so re-listen to this episode, write them down. I think I actually posted it on my Instagram as well. You can find me at @TheJessicaDaSilva. I believe the post is called How to Navigate Relationship Ambivalence. So go through these steps as much as possible. And just remember, right, the more consistent we are with the practice, the more organic it feels. So practice, practice, practice. And if you're looking to better understand your ambivalence, how it manifests in your relationships, and guidance on how to navigate these complexities with more confidence and ease, you can learn more about my one-on-one attachment coaching program, where I guide you through all of my favorite tools to really begin embodying your secure self. And the link to learn more is in the show notes. You can also visit jessicadasilvacoaching.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, please rate it or leave a comment. Hearing your feedback just motivates me to create more content for you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode.